What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale reading, it's a zero, but it's the return of the vodka and squirts. I got me some blueberry crystal light. Scott, you drinking vodka and squirts this week?
No.
All right.
Just squirts.
This is the episode that happens in between two Thursday games. One of them was the Thanksgiving game that Buffalo showed up for, and the next one is against Dallas that hopefully the Saints show up for, and maybe Dallas won't. We'll get into a little bit of that later on. I don't know that there's much to rehash about the Thanksgiving game. There's other stuff maybe we can talk about, but we're going to try to avoid talking about anything LSU related, because LSU has asked that the information in the news does not come out until Wednesday. Great job keeping a lid on that, world. But Scott, I'm sure this is your season.
This is your Christmas, Scott.
It's going to be Scott's Christmas on the Tigers then this week.
I'm honestly just worn out at this point. Like, the past 48 hours have just been a whirlwind. Yeah. Like, I've never checked Twitter so much in my entire life as I have the past 48 hours.
All right. So with that, let's put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with about a 2.5. I'm drinking one of these Miller Lights that is in the...
Hey, is that mine?
It's in one of the... It's in the Tennessee Titans 12-pack case.
It is from Tennessee.
It is your beer. It's more recent beer. Yeah.
You're drinking beer from Tennessee?
I am.
Yeah, he is.
That's
actually
exciting.
Yeah, he got to take all the alcohol home because he drove.
That's another benefit, baby.
That's right. All right. Let's see. North of Jason, we got Scott. Welcome to the show. I see you're with your best friend, Taysom Hill.
Yes, and I am drinking, you can't probably see it, but a Michelob Ultra infusion.
it's invisible.
You can see my hand, but
that is a zero calorie Michelob.
That's about how much taste it has.
It's actually got a very good taste. Jeff's tasted. He said it tastes like potpourri.
That's the potpourri one. Yeah
look, and I'm about a one.
All right, good job. All right, Gun to the south of me. Hey, what's up and what's your number?
2.4.
Oh, he flipped it instead of a 4.2.
nice.
The important thing is where you put the decimal. All right. On the live stream, I see Jason Lake has joined us as we have sound now. Chris Farmer is here. A couple other viewers. Feel free to say hello. Feel free to chime in on anything that we talk about, and we'll try to see which comments we can discuss on the podcast. So, like I said in the intro, there's not a whole lot to talk about with regard to the Saints-Bills game on Thanksgiving, but there was one thing that I wanted to bring up. So I guess we'll just go ahead, just for the sake of having the music. Let's do the game recap. Oh, and I will note, better job talking about the game this week on the Instant Reaction Show, everybody.
We try. I think I teased the point that you're about to make. So
you did. I thank you for doing that.
So, probably because it was a holiday and we were like really focused. You know, it's a special day, so we're ready to go.
Yeah, y'all do that after the game. Good for you. All right. So the comment that Drew Brees made was at the start of the fourth quarter. It was when we could have had a touchdown, I think, but we missed that. Well, the receiver didn't. He didn't cut out or in where he should have cut out or in. He did the opposite of what he was supposed to do. And it was an incomplete pass in the back of the end zone. This is like literally at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And Brees, you know, in his analysis said, wide receiver's not open. If the wide receiver isn't open to the corner, you have to retrace back to the inside. One of the nuances to this offense that a lot of these young receivers don't know yet, that's the spaghetti sauce, the secret sauce that helps this offense get to the next level. When you have all these adjustments that a veteran receiver like Michael Thomas would know, or a quarterback who's been in the offense for a while would know, that's what's missing from this offense right now. And we all, I think, knew that the receivers were a problem. But the question I think that this brings up is it that the receivers really are the problem, or is it that they're young and inexperienced with this complex offense? And I don't think we ever added the element in about the quarterback needing time in the offense too. We gave Jameis a lot of time and forgiveness, but we're not giving Trevor time and forgiveness when Trevor has no offensive line blocking for him on top of not being in the offense for a long
time. Trevor doesn't have the upside that Jameis does. I mean, Trevor, there's nothing.
I'm not. Yeah.
Trevor, yeah, there's nothing where
Jameis is a better quarterback. For,
right.
Well, I'm not. That's not the debate I want to have. Well, the conversation I'm bringing up is
that's not what I want to talk about.
I
didn't say all this to say Trevor should be better or Trevor's better than Jameis. I bring it up to say we all throughout the beginning of the year kept saying Jameis will get better the more time he has with the offense. Trevor is not necessarily getting better, but do we really have ever expected Trevor to get better? Trevor's a third string quarterback. He's not a starter for the NFL. But adding that to the issue with the receivers, I'm not sure that I agree with Breeze entirely that we have too young of a receiver core, and that's why the problem is, because Tre'Quan Smith has been in this offense long enough. Deontay Harris should be familiar enough with this offense.
Even Callaway was here last year.
Yeah.
So I guess my question to Breeze's statement is, that doesn't sound like it's something that is particular to this offense. If you're not open as a receiver, you retrace your steps and move back to the inside. So basically, I'm guessing what I'm thinking
is that 101.
I mean, you would think, right? Like, he's running to the boundaries. Oh, I'm not open. I can't go any further because I'm going to go out of bounds. Let me go back the other way. Like, is that not like playground football that you
didn't
should
Jim Carrey do that in Ace Ventura? Remember when he went backwards?
But I mean, do you see what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't sound like it's a nuance of the Saints offense in particular. I can buy that these are young receivers and they haven't been in offense maybe long, or Trevor hasn't been running the offense long, but it just, that kind of seems like it should be known that you should do that.
I think for that play probably, and maybe maybe he had that talking point queued up and ready to bring up during the game. Cause if you let's like break it apart, when you have these adjustments that a veteran receiver like MT would know, or a quarterback who's been in the offense would know, is he talking about, does Sean Payton's offense allow receivers to at some point make a decision more often than another offense would? Is that part of Sean Payton's genius? And if so, how did Drew Brees get on the same page to the level that he did with every receiver? Every receiver.
That's how great he is. But that's the weird thing too about
him.
What
they were going to do before they knew what they were going to do.
I mean, him saying this he knew this entire offense front to back. He knew it.
I mean, 15 years.
He's going to be better than anybody else who's ever going to play that offense.
Special. I mean, it's replacing a Hall of Famer is always going to be an ugly project. Always.
And again, I'm not worried about replacing Drew Brees. I think Jameis. I mean, you know, even next year, if Jameis is our starter next year, I'm fine with that. I don't need us to get Russell Wilson. I mean, I'd like it to happen, you know, if you're going to bring somebody else in. But if we are with Jameis, that's fine with me. It's the receivers that if by now these receivers are still making the kind of mistakes that Drew Brees is saying they're making, they're not good.
Is it safe to say that the tide has turned on public opinion where a majority of people don't believe that Mike Thomas is going to play receiver first next year, or is, I mean, cause like, it's not like he's coming back. So now you've got, I mean, it's not just like, oh, we'll improve during the draft of free agency. Like, we have four spots to fill. Oh, and we're going to actually need a tight end too.
That's still less than we needed to
fill. Oh, and we're going to have to make some difficult decisions on the offensive line relative to, you know, a really good left tackle that we all love.
Yeah.
And we're going to be over the salary cap. We're going to have to cut people.
We have to be over the salary cap.
Don't even bring the salary cap. That's a phantom issue, Jason. Don't be the national media.
So guys will go to Cincinnati and leave the facts.
The classic accountant.
But this is, you know, we're going to have all these holes to fill. That's why I don't believe we're going to go after this giant quarterback, because it's going to take two or three first round picks. It's going to take multiple picks to get somebody like that.
Jameis showed enough.
I think Jameis can be good enough.
You can win with Jameis. Okay. The other thing is, I think y'all talked about it on the show, or at least it made me think of the question about Carlos Ruiz and how bad he's playing.
That's a baseball player, Jeff. His name is Cesar.
His name is forever Carlos Ruiz. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. This is the new, kinder, gentler Dome Patrol podcast, where we don't rag on people for making bold, dumb statements. okay, so Ruiz, he's not playing well, right?
He's definitely not playing well.
Is it because he's playing out of position? Is it because Ramchek's not there next to him? And is that how good Ramchek is? Or you know what I mean?
Like, the answer is yes to all those questions.
Not having a guy next to you doesn't explain how you pull. And not once, but in a second game, you pull and go to block somebody and you completely whiff. He blocked air. Blocked fucking air after doing it like a week or two ago. He did the exact same thing.
Is that how good Ramchek is? That Ramchek actually covers for stupid mistakes that?
If you're spending a first round draft pick on an offensive lineman, he needs to be a steady, good 10-year starter. So far, I know it's early, but so far he is not that. I don't think it has anything to do, like, it shouldn't matter who's next to you. Yeah, it helps, but it shouldn't matter this much who's next to you or not. Now, maybe some of it is on the quarterback for having to call the right protections. Like, you know, there, some of it goes into that too. So that could be some of it too.
Yeah, but
it seems like he's played worse since Winston's been out.
Maybe he doesn't like Trevor Siemian. Maybe he's a Taysom fan too.
I don't know. I don't know. We're getting to the point in the season. Where, like, you know, what do you like? I'm not angry. I'm just like, no, this is what it is.
Well, no, like even Thursday night, I didn't walk into that game. I mean, remember last week on score predictions, I predicted a shutout and I almost got it.
Yeah, you did.
I always predicted us to win the Cowboys game.
Hey.
So I guess I have to pick a win later the show.
We might beat the Cowboys. Don't they all have COVID?
A lot of them do.
A lot of them do.
We'll get into that in the preview. So yeah, I mean, outside of that, I don't know that there's much else to talk about with the game. Was there a single bright spot? We didn't miss any extra points.
We didn't get,
I mean, out. I would say the bright spot would be the defense with two turnovers, two picks. The offense couldn't do anything with it, but you know, I know we gave up 31 points, but you know, the offense is going to wear down after. I mean, the defense is going to wear down after being on the field for so long. Like, you can only go three. Well, and out, I mean,
they knew we weren't going to score enough points to win. They knew it was over. The first half was great.
Once we got, I think they went up what was it, 17 or something? Or they were up 10-0 at half. Once they went up 17-0, it was like, I don't even know if we can score that many points.
Oh yeah, the game was over. We weren't scoring 17.
The offense just looked.
That's what we're talking about. The Saints injury riddled offense in 2021. Yeah, we're not. It's over. We're not scoring 17 points. We're not even
again, I would rather us in this situation because of injuries than because our team sucks. You know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I'd rather be here. It means that
reloading, contrary to Gunn's statement earlier, reloading is easy relative to what it could be.
I got to stop you there. I got to stop you there.
I said relative.
On the wrap-up show, Wes made a very good point.
It's called the instant reaction.
Right.
Not the two-point conversion, because there's none of those.
The name of that show eludes me.
And Farmer, that was the first game in my adult life I've ever left early.
That totally excusable. Saints left early that game.
Right.
But it's not time to leave early on the season. Because Wes made this point. It's a very good point. The Saints' path to the playoffs, like going into the game against Buffalo on Thanksgiving night, it never involved beating Buffalo. My calculations, and I still believe right now, the Saints are very much playoff eligible. And might be headed towards the playoffs. Because the four wins that we need to get between now and the end of the season, and it was the same four wins last week, it never involved Buffalo. Right, so everybody would lose to Buffalo, and everybody was losing their freaking minds. That wasn't part of the calculation anyway. Wasn't part of the equation.
But your mistake is assuming that we're going to win four more games.
Well, we're going to win four more games.
How?
There's four very winnable games out there. Shall we talk about them?
Sure. Please. Oh, okay. But wait, before you do, Jesse Hopps says bourbon and Otmac post going up. What's that?
Yeah, we got our golf championship is at TPC on Sunday.
Ah, okay.
That's the one good thing about the Saints playing on Thursday. My weekends are open and my Sundays are stress-free.
Yeah, Sundays are very stress-free.
Sundays right are now. Nice, right? It's nice. I didn't Sundays, even watch football.
But without the Saints on Sunday, I forgot Yellowstone was coming on and I didn't watch it. I need that. I have a rhythm to my Sundays, okay?
Low stress day.
And yeah, it also made me the whole weekend. I kept thinking I had to work the next day because the Saints played Thursday night. And Vinzenberg, you need a whole show for QB talk. There's too much to say. We don't need steady at QB. We need to shake things up. I think Vinzenberg is alluding to the fact that he's a Taysom advocate. He has a crush on Taysom Hill. So,
oh, you're a fanboy?
You can't say that. You can't say that.
I can because it's Vinzenberg and he's cool.
Oh, okay.
So, all right, Gunn, go with your. Let's go to the next four games that you think we're going to win.
I'll be charitable enough to do this.
Be quick.
Cowboys game's a loss.
Ooh.
And we're still going to make the playoffs. Jets win. Bucks.
Yes, the Jets will win.
We'll lose to the Bucks. That's fair. We'll lose. We can afford to lose to the Bucks under my plan.
Okay.
Dolphins win. Panthers win. Falcons win. We go 4-2 from here on out, and we make the playoffs at 9-8. Okay. And all of this is buffered by the fact that we've got Kamara coming. This guy named Alvin Kamara, who's going to be our running back, he's coming back. And then I'm kind of a Kamara fanboy. I've been accused of being a Kamara fanboy. Like, because I just had this irrational love of Kamara. I got an autographed football of Kamara back here.
And that's why you cannot be objective about this. And so your take cannot be taken seriously.
Oh, is that why?
No, I mean, I'm a personality. I'm not a journalist. I'm a personality.
Ah,
yeah, gotcha. It makes it okay.
I'll put him up for you, Gunn. Look, James.
Yeah, dude, he's the best ever. He's the best ever. What are you talking about?
He's no Christian McCaffrey.
Although, you know what?
Christian McCaffrey.
Who gets hurt for the season.
Although,
Panthers.
At least your choice of being a fanboy of Kamara is backed up by, like, Kamara backs that up for you by being a legitimate starter.
He's the best player on the team. One of the three best running backs in the league.
Okay.
So it's not like, all that good. And I just have an irrational love of him because he's handsome. Because he is handsome.
Are we getting any?
He's handsome and good at football.
Are we getting any offensive linemen back?
Ramchek, I think, might be coming back this week.
Ramchek's coming back.
Nope. Thank you.
Because I can get on board with winning. I could actually get on board with beating Dallas because of Dallas's COVID situation, actually. And then you've stolen a win for Gunn's plan. You're ahead of yourself.
Well, you know, the Dallas thing is tricky because the fact that Mike McCarthy's not going to be there.
We know what happens when your coaches are not on the side.
Well, no. But Mike,
I would rather McCarthy be there.
If I said Mike McCarthy's such a bad coach, I'd rather him be there too, Jason.
Dan Quinn, the former.
When you replace
Falcons
him with
coach,
Dan Quinn,
Well, it's like Inception. It's like bad coaching Inception.
Well, Sean Payton's got Dan Quinn's number. You say Mike McCarthy's not a good coach. Dallas is winning this year. They're doing well this year. Okay, so I know it's fun to shit on Mike McCarthy, but you can't say he's not doing a good job this year. But not having your head coach on the sideline can affect the game, and we know better than any other team.
Yeah,
because I think Sean Payton, as a head coach, has missed more games than any head coach in the history of the NFL,
including while still employed. Said team.
Right. And there's talk. Well, we can get to it in the game.
Yeah.
Maybe I won't.
So to that end, if we get these players back, if the revolving door at the hospital stops.
Well, there's also the wild card that's going to be thrown in all to this. Who's going to be our starting quarterback?
Oh, the starting quarterback. So
that plays into it. Like if we just want to say, and here's some of it too. If Taysom's going to be the guy, fine. Let's just go nuts and do weird shit. You know, can we do this? Because teams aren't necessarily going to be prepared if you can get it done. It worked with Jalen Hurts for a while. You know, they just ran a lot. Now, I don't know. The problem is Sean Payton's not really going to change his offense, right?
No.
He's going to try to make Taysom fit his offense.
Yes. And he's not going to run Taysom. He's not. Okay. First of all, Taysom's dealing with a foot injury.
And a concussion.
Plantar fasciitis and a concussion. He's not going to run Taysom. He's going to be pocket passer like Taysom was when he played earlier.
Those four games last year.
It's not him running. It's him staying in the pocket and throwing, and he's going to get sacked because he's not going to want to take off and run because he's told not to.
He's hurt.
We've talked about that before. You know, he's hurt, and he has been told, don't run.
It's really plantar fascia? That's his injury?
That's what they said, yes.
Is there 100%? I mean, we're all on the same page that, like, after that performance by Trevor Siemian, starting Taysom is the right thing to do this week, right? Like, everybody agrees with that?
If he's healthy, yeah, you got to shake it up. I mean...
We know what Trevor is.
We know what Trevor is, but, you know, at the same time, you know, if Kamara and Ingram come back, that gives you a better shot, obviously, but he's going to be playing with the same guys that Trevor was playing with. Now Trevor's 0-4 since he's became the starting quarterback. You know, maybe Taysom can add that spark. You got to try something. You know, it's at the point where you just got to throw shit up against the wall and see what sticks, basically.
So here's a question I have. So earlier today, Ian Rappaport tweets out that from sources, the Saints appear poised to make a QB change. Taysom Hill's taking first team reps this week in practice preparation to face the Cowboys. Trevor Siemian is now taking number two reps. Amy just actually commented on this tweet from Ian Rappaport saying how in-season practice access works for reporters on the ground is that we can watch a few minutes and can say who was and wasn't there and who is or isn't participating. We cannot say who's taking first team reps, nor can we report on personnel groupings and play calls. Why is Ian Rappaport making these? Why is he allowed to report on this when our beat writers cannot?
I guess because he's a national inside scoop guy.
From whoever's in the organization, yeah. That's who they feed.
And it might not even be the organization. It could be. I mean, I doubt it would be just a reporter telling
it's
him.
Somebody,
but she's kind of bringing to light a bullshit norm,
right?
That transcends like team policy and fucking Twitter and the way sports get reported,
right? Like Ian Rappaport, like, he's sharing information with Dallas, for example.
Yeah,
no, so that they can prepare for Taysom now. And I like that Amy's calling him out.
I commented on her tweet. I was like, I did not know that. That is pretty wild.
She's
like,
informative.
Thank you.
She's educating us.
Best, most interesting shit I read all day because I didn't realize that. And so when that happens like that, it's shitting on the local talent and just handing it over to.
Instead, what it also creates is Mickey your Mouse. Your local journalists are creating a bunch of fake speculation, mock draft style reporting with opinions rather than facts.
I'm just going to call Ian Rappaport Mickey Mouse from here on out. Right. That's who he is. Right. Is there a guy at ESPN that's bigger than him about just doing this kind of like bullshit?
Big Easy Gajon said it could be a purposeful leak to throw off the Cowboys. I don't think it is. I think if anything, you know that the national media is trying to help the Cowboys.
That's I hope they're trying to leak us about Mike McCarthy. I hope Mike McCarthy actually shows up on Thursday. I don't want him. I don't want him coaching via Zoom. I want him in person.
But it seems like Rappaport always, either Rappaport or Glazer are the ones that always drop the Saints stories because they're the ones who always get it. And you know, it's a weird, like, I mean, look, a lot of our local media is not very good. There's only a handful of people that are actually good at their job. The rest of them just placate to the Saints. Like they're scared of getting denied access or something, but
that's
because, you know, the Saints
happened to Corey Johnson. All right. Or who was it? The
Kenny Wilkerson. Yeah.
It happened to Buddy D.
It happened all of them.
They kicked Buddy D off of television, exiled on the radio. Mafia,
People would actually call the Saints out for their bullshit. There's none of that anymore.
Saints told WDSU as long as he's on your channel, we will not grant you any kind of access.
But that's what gave rise to the independent podcast. Because we don't care about the founder. Access.
Buddy D, spiritual founder.
Access? Wait, you get an access?
Of course, I don't know that we really go against the Saints either that much. Like, we complain about shit. Like, Jason, you're the worst.
At least I pick them to lose a game here and then.
Whatever. Hey, I said they ain't going to win but one more game this year. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so yeah, we've been kicked out of the press room.
And I still hold true to that, despite what Gunn's four game win plan.
Zoom room? They gave us the wrong password?
Yeah,
I say.
You think we lose some more of those games?
I'm still under three.
I mean, I haven't seen.
Well, you've only drank like two beers, so I guess.
No, I mean, like, I'm still saying we're under three wins.
Yeah,
like I don't see it. Based off of look, I know people are coming back, and maybe Taysom adds a spark, but this offense is shit right now, and it's because of the injuries. I understand. I'm not.
Oh, plus we didn't talk about the Harris suspended for three games.
Yeah.
Now he's going to appeal it, so he can still play as long as the appeal's under. But I mean, they're going to rule pretty soon, I would imagine, on that.
See, just as we start to get healthy, NFL finds a way. No. Dude, that's the only think about that. That is the only way to keep Sean Payton's Saints down is injury and suspensions to the.
Oh, I don't think they heard enough. Let's give a suspension.
Never seen before in the NFL.
I mean, three games aren't DUIs normally two games. Maybe he'll get it appealed down to two.
I don't know.
I mean, I've said it on one of the other shows.
But if you don't get your COVID vaccination and you cause COVID among the entire team,
you're fine. 15 grand. That's all it is. 15 grand.
Yeah, we lost draft picks for dancing, without masks.
In our own locker room.
In our own locker room.
A game that we played.
Everybody's tested and clean. Right.
And a game they play that everybody's like breathing in each other's faces. Yeah, they're high fiving each other. And you remember? Yeah, each other.
I've seen those old Football Follies videos back in the day where they in the cold and you see the fog from the linemen breathing on each other. I mean, come on, that's COVID right there.
Airport bathrooms.
That's COVID.
They allow airport bathrooms.
Ha ha! I see what you did, Jason.
It was a bad joke, but hey, I tried.
Yeah. So, all right. So, quick round the horn here. Do you want Taysom to start against Dallas and why?
Yes, because Trevor sucks. Like you need something needs to change. Like you can't keep on going status quo. I mean, even after the game, Peyton said, look, this offense is horrible. Like he knows it. Like he knows it's bad. You've got to do something to change it. Is Taysom the answer? I don't know. But you've got to do something. I mean, you'd have to go to him before you went to Ian Book, right? And if Taysom doesn't work out, I don't know where you go from there. Do you throw in Ian Book? I mean, you got to do something.
Just let Kamara have it.
I don't know. Run an RPO with Kamara.
I'm good with it just because. I mean, why the hell not? We have nothing else. Whatever. I mean, the season is whatever. Just throw it out there. If it works, great. If it doesn't. Well,
remember
the season from hell.
Remember that game last year when we played Denver and every quarterback on Denver had COVID.
Yeah.
So it was like this weird bizarro football game. And we ran like basically like the Army Air Force offense, you know, and I think we threw the ball less than five times in the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we scored like 23 points or something like that. And part of that had to do with the futility of Denver's offense, obviously, but why not just run that offense from here on out and throw the ball like 10 more times?
Turn into the military academies from college.
Run like a wing team. Run a veer offense with Taysom Hill.
And it's like Sean Payton's finally going to balance
and do
play
like
calling
15 passing
after
attempts
15 years of
15 passing attempts where all we're really going to do is rifle it downfield and hope for a big play or an interference.
Yeah.
I tell you what I like.
I guarantee you we can't go wrong that way.
If we could get a little fan interaction, if you're watching this on Facebook and you're in the chat, tell us, do you believe in Gunn's plan? Do you believe that we will win four games and make the playoffs? You could just simply type yes or no. Yes, I believe in Gunn's plan, or no, I don't. But let us know what y'all think. Seriously. Like, do you think we'll win four games and make the playoffs?
And Big Easy Gadget said, you throw in Ian Book when you're mathematically out of the playoffs.
But we won't be mathematically out of the playoffs. That's what I think I was trying to say it one of the last
weeks. By week 17, it's possible.
It's possible. But, I mean, really, those last three games should go www.com.
That No Patrol podcast.
Right? Right? But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, especially with McCaffrey being hurt and Cam Newton.
We're not worried about Carolina. Like, we got to jump back over Atlanta.
Shutting it down
Atlanta,
was the smartest thing to do. I'd be for shutting it down.
Farmer says no. No hope with this offense, even with Taysom.
Oh, you got to have a little hope.
The easy guy, John. Yes, I believe in Peyton. That's the only reason. He believes in Sean Payton's ability.
Well, that's the other interesting thing about people that are just crazy obsessed with Taysom Hill and think he's got, like, some kind of Rocky Balboa thing about to happen with him. Like, I remember feeling crazy super excited for Taysom too, like Taysom mania, yay, all excited. And then, like, we saw Taysom, we're like, oh, he's not that good. He's not an NFL quarterback. And so I'm not as excited about Taysom round two electric boogaloo, you know, but, I mean, you got to have a little bit of hope about it, right?
See, with Taysom, like,
Les Henderson,
it's just pure fandom. It's just
on
just
this.
Pure, I'm just Throw a pure fanboy at this point. I'm nothing but a fanboy for Taysom right now.
Well, read that comment again, Jeff.
Les Henderson, Ingram's a decent receiver on this team. Throw it to him.
And so is Kamara, you know, for that matter. I mean, Kamara can run passing routes. I mean, when they tried him out, that's the only thing he ran.
I mean, Drew Brees would complete half of his passes to running backs on checkdowns. Again, going back to his comment about being in this offense, what I don't understand is why was Trevor not, and if it is going to be Taysom, like, can we please coach these guys to say, like, don't tell them, like, hey, the wide receivers are not the first reads. The running backs are the first reads. Even if it's not a screen pass, like, just watch Mark Ingram the whole time. Don't look at Deontay. Don't be fooled. Don't throw it over there.
See, what worries me about Taysom is we've seen him try to throw the deep passes and they look like punts. And so let's say you eliminate the deep passes, right? You take that out of the game plan altogether. What are you left with? You left with what we had with Drew Brees like at the end of last year.
Didn't like a Saints journalist, like Zapruder style, break down the goofy Taysom punt throw interceptions? Like somebody's always stepping on his foot or something.
There was one play
where
that happened.
Long form articles about it in the USA Today.
Okay, two plays that had happened. I mean, but it regardless, it's still when he throws it deep, it looks like a punt. Like almost every time he throws it deep, it looks like a punt.
So he's throwing rainbows.
Like, I don't know if he just needs to take a little air out from underneath. And I don't know if that's the only way he can get it downfield. We wouldn't think so, because when he throws short to intermediate routes,
that's what somebody like
bullets.
Me would do, because I'm not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I think he needs to throw it 15 times a game, quick hitting play action. And he should be in such a sequence that he can't overdo it or overthink it or over, you know.
And, you know, something we never really – do you ever notice that we don't really go tempo, like, unless we're in two minute drill?
You can't start it. You can't get a tempo going.
Bullshit. No, but I mean, like, seriously, tempo play. One play ends, you get up, you get it. You don't go in a hole, you get another one. I mean, a lot of teams can get sparks like that and move the ball.
I hate to reference college football at a time like this, and especially Ole Miss. But Scott, you've seen Ole Miss run tempo offense, right?
Yeah.
When it's clicking. And they're scoring 60, 70 points a game.
Yep.
And it's not like their talent level is not that exceptional even to, like, their peers and who they're playing against. It's just running a tempo.
LSU does it. That's how LSU got their
last
touchdown.
You can run and do it. You can do a tempo run. You can do a tempo pass. That's what people don't understand. You keep the same personnel groups out there and just wear their ass out.
Like I said, at this point, that's worth trying, right? It's
worth trying. Especially if you have depth issues.
Jose Mejia says he agrees with your plan, Gunn. Four wins is very doable. Need the offense get first downs, and the defense is on the field too much.
Jose knows what's up, man.
If you run your tempo offense and you keep
But we can't do that. But we can't keep our offense on the field. That's the problem.
Well, you got to get first downs to do it.
I agree.
Oh, you think so, Doctor?
We haven't been doing that.
Well, that was my point. You say run a tempo offense like we are able to do so. We're not.
It's within but all of us.
If you get one play, you get one play.
You got a little
bit
of tempo offense in your heart. Just say tempo offense.
You get one play. You know, you get a 5 yard, a 3 or 4 yard game. Boom. Get up to the line. Do another one. Boom. Get
the
up
reason
to
why
line.
You can't.
They got to try something different.
I agree. And maybe bringing Taysom in will allow them to do that. I mean, the good thing is Dallas won't have any film to really work with other than what we had maybe last year or something.
There's some Taysom film out there.
I don't know if we're having issues with the live stream.
I'm optimistic. Like I didn't even factor into my equation the Dallas being a win. I think Dallas is going to be a win. I think we're going to beat Dallas.
Hell
he's
yeah.
On. He's on now.
I think we're going to beat Dallas.
Ooh. All right. All right. You know what? Let's get into pick'ems.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game you never, ever win.
Yeah, how did we do in pick'ems?
All right. So this week, everybody did well. Everybody except for a couple of people.
Me?
You would be one of them, along with James. So,
hey, Jeff, before you get into pick'ems, can you read that last post
comment?
From Duncan? Yeah, from
Duncan Flett, watching in New Zealand.
Oh.
Gunn is my Santa. I'm a believer for... Gunn, you're building a cult over there. You got
cheers,
you.
Mate. Yeah,
cheers, mate. I don't know what they say
in New Zealand, but
I think they say mate. Yeah,
party on, dude.
Good day, mate.
That's Australia.
I know, yep. But it's close enough.
They're so close.
That New Zealand guy's gonna come here and kick your ass for saying that. They hate being compared.
Isn't it Kiwis?
New Zealand's like more exclusive Australia, right? Like they're like even more hardcore than Australia.
They're better.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. No disrespect to our Australian.
I don't think either one of them would let me in.
It's a great. It's like yeah.
they ain't let either one of them ain't gonna let me in.
I don't know. Australia was a criminal colony. Like that was where they put
prisoners.
Yeah,
but not today. Today,
no, not today. With COVID, they don't let you out
your fucking
house.
99% literacy rate.
Cheers, bro. He said cheers, bro. So
cheers
bro, not mate.
Cheers, bro. No, well, fucking A. I prefer bro to mate anyway.
Here's the question, Duncan.
Are you
an American?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Just because he's in
New Zealand, or are you a New Zealander in New Zealand? Because like Big Easy Gaijon is an American.
He might be filming Lord of the Rings, right? Don't they film all the Lord of the Rings movies in New Zealand?
Well, they stopped. I think they're done.
Don't they still film, like, there's Hobbit still running around on Amazon, aren't there? Did I make that up?
That's all about Yellowstone now. They're filming all the Yellowstone movies.
In New Zealand?
But that's where they film the Hobbits, is in New Zealand. Yeah.
He's a New Zealander in New Zealand.
The Hobbits.
Inzer. He's an Inzer in New Zealand.
I don't know what that means.
New Zealander
in New Zealand.
You got to learn the jargon, Scott. Come on,
I'm not down with the jargon.
Yeah, the shorthand. You got to know shorthand.
Gotcha.
All right, back to pick'ems. So let's see. Ben went 4-1. Scott, you went 4-1. Hey, I went 4-1. Uncle Baby Billy went 3-2. Wes went 3-2. James and Jason, you both went 2-3.
Oh,
in the larger league, Jake takes first place with a 620 win percentage, followed by Big Easy Gaijon, Ali Gibbs, Jeff, Trevor Bruno, Drew, Scott, Uncle Baby Billy, Farmer, Paul Perrette, Tom Ensign, James, Carp, Sans Hobbs, Jambalaya Brothers. All of that is in the winning percentage, and no one is 500. Wes starts off the loser's bracket at 27-28, followed by Neil. Neil is almost in the winner's bracket. And then Ben, then the mailman, Mr. Coach Klein, only two left, Jason and Drummer.
Not last.
So are both your kids ahead of me?
Jason, you're getting the gratin down there at the bottom.
That's what I'm doing.
Yes, Scott. Both of my kids are doing better than me.
It's a season from hell. I'm just like the Saints.
The cat's beating a lot of people, right?
Uncle Baby Billy. Yeah, he's up there. He's right under Scott. He's
All right. So let's get up. So that's what you got. Yeah, I suck. This week's games also kind of suck. Not a lot of good games this week. I think one of the better games is a Monday night game, which we can't do. But we'll start off. I wish this game would have been flexed because this would be a great game of 2 second-year quarterbacks who will be judged against each other for a while, I believe. The Los Angeles Chargers coming off a bad loss this week to Denver. I mean, they just look bad. They traveled to Cincinnati to play a Bengals team coming off a big win against Pittsburgh. So you got Burrow and Herbert, the two quarterbacks picked in the first round last year. This game's in Cincinnati. Bengals are favored by 3.
Scott, I know where you're going.
Do you, Jeff?
I think you're going with Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Burrows.
I'm not going with Cincinnati.
You're lying.
I'm going with Joey B.
Oh, God. All right. I'm also going to go with Cincinnati.
Same for me.
Y'all ready?
Here we go, Uncle Baby Billy. For those of you whose first time this is watching on the live,
this is happening live. Uncle Baby Billy is randomly picking a winner
make
here.
His pick, Vincent.
He we've experimented with treats and catnip, but we've landed on hair ties. In fact, I'm going to move these because now he's ready go.
Farmer, you can make your pick while Uncle Baby Billy does his. And I think who else is watching that's playing with Pick'ems? Did he make his pick? I missed it.
Yes, he did.
He's fast. You got to be watching.
He went Chargers plus 3.
Oh,
wow.
He is trying to lose.
That's bold.
Maybe. All right. Our next game, the aforementioned Denver Broncos coming off a big win against the Chargers this week. They travel to Kansas City to play a Chiefs team that's coming off a bye. It's a division game, both teams with winning records. And Kansas City is favored by 10.
Damn.
This is at Kansas City?
It's at Kansas City.
And who are they playing? I'm sorry.
Denver. Denver's sitting there at 6-5.
Damn, 10's a big number.
Wow, Denver had a really rough start this year, didn't they? And they turned it around, or did they start strong?
No, I think they started strong. They
started strong, then kind of struggled, and then...
And now they're playing all right again, huh?
Yeah.
I am going to... The Chiefs are coming off a bye.
Correct.
I'm going to take the risky move, and I'm going with the Chiefs.
I'm going with the Chiefs as well.
Oh, shit. Can I change my pick?
This is a rivalry game. They're big rivals. And when you have a rivalry game like that, you can pretty much throw records out the window, and they're usually close games. I am taking the points and taking the Broncos.
All right.
There's no way it's going to be 10 points. Not in a rivalry game like that.
All right. So let's see. Carp. Came in, took Cincinnati and the Chiefs. Vincent Burke's taking the Broncos. So this one is going to be interesting. So you're taking Denver, Scott, right?
Yes.
And I think Big Easy Guy Sean is taking Denver as well. Uncle Baby Billy has made his pick.
Insanity. I don't know where this cat gets his ideas.
Kansas City. All right.
Welcome to the team.
I'm feeling better.
I'm feeling better because the cat figured.
The cat. Right.
I disagree with him often.
Yeah. So, you know, the rest of these, I mean, there was a lot of bad games this week. So the rest of these games are kind of meh. It wasn't really a super shitty game of the week. It's just a bunch of blah games. But our first one will be the Washington
football
team.
Wait, we're going 3 shitty games?
Here we go.
How about 3 crappy games of the week?
Okay.
We got the Washington football team coming off a big win tonight against Seattle. They just ended the game. They beat the Seahawks. So they, you know, so they're now 5-6. Same as us, I believe.
Can't really rag on them anymore, can you?
They're still a bad franchise, whatever. They travel to Las Vegas to play a Raiders team that's coming off a big win on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys. So the Raiders have looked good. It's in Vegas. Raiders are favored by 1.5. I'll go first. Give me the Raiders.
Just win, baby. Give me the Raiders.
Who did the Raiders beat, you said?
Cowboys. Your team.
Well, why is that my team?
Because we live in your area, North Louisiana.
Right? Oh, I see.
Come on, I've been making that joke for like 12 years.
I know.
Yeah.
Raiders and the.
You don't mind coming up and eating our crawfish and food, though, does he, Joe?
He sure doesn't. Yeah, I guess I'm gonna take the Raiders. I'm actually concerned that Washington actually has a good defense, and they did just beat Seattle.
Seattle's garbage right now.
Seattle's pretty garbage right now.
All right, then I'm taking the Raiders.
Seattle's what, 3-6?
No,
they're three and eight.
3-8.
I thought he was going to go back and take the USC job.
Yeah, he's.
I actually wondered if he was going to be the next LSU head coach. Mark and Big Easy guys, Sean, are both taking the Raiders. Uncle Baby Billy, who you got? Did we lose him?
Nobody right now. He put his camera down.
Oh, my goodness.
So we will. All right, so let's move on to our next game.
What happened?
I don't know.
Man, it's so I picked these games before the finish of tonight. So I have the San Francisco 49ers coming off a win against the Vikings this week. They travel to Seattle to play a crappy Seattle team. This is crazy. Seattle is actually getting 2.5 points at home.
Wow.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah, I'm taking San Francisco.
I'm going to take the Sea Chickens.
Yep.
Debo Samuel is out.
I'm taking San Fran still. All right. Big Easy Gaijon and Carp. So looks like Carp's taking San Francisco. And Big Easy Gaijon. We'll wait for him. Uncle Baby Bill's not here. He's taking Seattle. Always, they always play San Francisco tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
That is true. So.
All right, and now our final game of the week, the New York Giants, coming off a surprising win against the Eagles this week. They travel to Miami to play a Dolphins team that's kind of rolling right now. They've won either 3 or 4 straight. Looking to make a little push here. This game is in Miami. Dolphins favored by 3.
Who are they? Who's the first team?
The Giants of New York.
Giants at Miami. Miami is favored by 3.
Correct.
Interesting. They're giving the Giants 3. You know, the Giants are one of those, maybe because they beat us and I'm thinking they're better than they really are. But I'm going to take Miami on this one.
I am taking Miami as well. Tua's had a really good week. I think he was over your 80% percentage, completion percentage this past week, which is, there was some stat where he's like one of the fewest, I don't know, players to do that or something, to have over 80% completions in a game.
Jeff, you ready to walk through a fountain for this pick?
Sure enough.
I'm taking Miami also.
Ooh, it's a Miami three-way. And Carp's taking Miami. Vincent Burke is taking Miami. And, oh, Farmer's got his picks in, too. So I will record those.
All right, so those are your games.
I don't know where Uncle Baby Billy went, but, yeah, recap us.
The Chargers at the Bengals. Herbert versus Burrow. Bengals -3. Denver at Kansas City. Chiefs are getting 10, or favored by 10 at home. The Washington football team at the Vegas Raiders. Raiders are favored by 1.5. San Francisco at Seattle. The Seahawks are getting 2.5 at home. And then the Giants at the Dolphins. The Dolphins are favored by 3.
All right. That's your picks. Everybody get them in before the first kickoff on Sunday. And when I like them, I've recorded them. And so I got to say, I'm proud of everybody for Pick'ems this year. We've had more weeks of 100% response rates than we've ever had in Pick'ems. Usually we have to disqualify guys for missing their, or girls, for missing their picks for too many weeks. And I know it's tempting, you know, when you're like as bad as Jason and whoever else is down there at the bottom, that it's just tempting me to just stop making Wes, picks, but I appreciate you all continuing to make your picks, even though you have no chance of winning this year.
Committing to the bit right here. I'm going all out.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk. We really did a lot of previewing already, but so this could be a short Saints preview. The Saints will be taking on the Dallas Cowboys.
I hate having to go to another night game on Thursday.
So
isn't that crazy? 2 weeks in a row.
They have an offensive lineman that is going to be out because of COVID, okay, for sure.
Cooper? Not out. I thought is one of the receivers. I thought was gonna
Cooper
be out.
Was out. He may be, or no? Was it Cooper or was it No, CeeDee Lamb came back, but I think Cooper's still out.
A lot of the coaching staff, including their head coach, there's also talk that Ezekiel Elliott might sit this game because of an injury. So, you know, there's a window of opportunity there for the Saints. Let's say that. You're not going to get a better shot to beat them than you probably have this week, unless, like, Dak was out, you know. Now Pollard, who's their backup running back, is very good. He is quick, very quick, and that could be problematic if he gets to the outside. It could be an issue.
He is, but I'm not as worried about that.
What are you worried about, Jeff?
Our offense.
Yeah, maybe Taysom can give him a spark. I mean, that's the only thing that's basically, you know, Taysom. Give him a spark, Kamara and Ingram coming back. I mean, and Ramchek. Your hopes are all on that. Because if you don't have that, then you're in trouble. And, I mean, it hasn't been confirmed that Ingram and Kamara are coming back yet, but they are practicing, which is a very good sign, because especially for Kamara, because he hasn't practiced in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So that's a good sign. You hope they can come back, but you're really hinging your hopes on those four coming back. If those four can come back, you know, and play, you have a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Just hope for them being undermanned and something weird happens with us. And like I said, I thought we would win this game. Somehow, some way, we'll find a way to beat Dallas. I don't know how. It's going to be an interesting viewing experience, especially after all the Bills fans last week. There's going to be a lot of Cowboys fans here this week.
Yes, there will be.
So
here's my question about our defense.
The game is on my birthday, so that's a plus for us.
There you go. So here's my thing about the defense. In the last three games, they've given up 94 points. Some would argue that our defense is not as good as it was in the beginning of the year. Is that a true statement, or is it like a side effect of the offense playing so poorly? They're on the field more.
Offense is going three and out. We're also decimated. We didn't have Turner. We didn't have Davenport. You don't have CeeDee. Yeah. We're missing a bunch of dudes.
We are.
Same thing. We didn't have Passignon either.
Is CeeDee coming back this week?
I haven't heard anything about him.
Was he on? Back. He wasn't put on IR, was he?
I thought it was the 3 week or 4 week, whatever it was.
I mean, if it's
like
if
it wasn't IR, season ending. I don't think it was season ending.
If he's on IR, it would be 3 weeks at a minimum.
Yeah, it wasn't season ending, I don't think.
But, you know, even saying that, the defense did have two picks this week, you know, and I think they were talking about that. I don't know if we were talking about that or they were talking about it on the broadcast. Like, it's, and maybe it was the instant reaction. So it's got to be very frustrating for the defense to be out there busting their ass, getting picks, just to turn it over to the offense that they know isn't going to do shit.
Kind of like the old late 80s, early 90s Saints with Carl Smith. Defense was great. Our offense was meh. Morton Anderson kicking us field goals.
Right.
Except yeah, now we don't have that.
Don't have a kicker.
Right. Yeah, now man. We don't have that.
It's.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess that's, you know, where I don't see the four games, you know, that Gunn's talking about. Like, it's just, unless something drastically changes on our offense, I don't know. And like, maybe getting those guys back will help. You know, obviously you have Kamara and Ingram and Taysom on the field and Ramchek. That's going to help a lot. You know, it's just, you're just waiting. It's almost like at this point you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, we get those four back. It's like, all right, well, then who's going to get hurt? You know, is Traquan going to pull a hammy? You know, is Callaway going to go down? You know, Harris might be out for three games, you know, with the suspension. You know, you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, we're getting four players back, but are we going to lose more? Are we going to lose two?
I mean, look, I'm not, you know, I think we can win four games, but if we don't, it's like, I'm not like expecting it. And I'm going to be disappointed when we don't. It's, I mean, I see that this is just the season's like, yeah, it, I know I'm going to sound like a broken record. I'm not that drunk yet, but it's just, this is, yeah. I'm just along, whatever.
I don't go into games. Did y'all know that?
Did y'all know that our loss to Buffalo was the first time we lost at home to the Buffalo Bills in 23 years?
Well, we only play them here every 8 years.
And that the 64 yards in total offense gained in the first half was the lowest since 1998.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Imagine being there in person and watching.
I think y'all nailed it on the instant reaction that it was like a third preseason game.
It really was.
Right. On Thanksgiving, no less.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All hung over.
I felt like a Lions
turkey.
Fan.
But did you take a nap? So, Cowboys do boast the league's best offense. So, our defense is going to need to step it up and then keep us in the game. This is, you say
Peyton
there's a window.
For
you
Dallas
say
too.
There's a window.
Peyton does get up for Dallas.
This is interesting. This is going to be a really interesting one. Jose Mejia got to move, dim, change.
I take it. Fuck it.
Right. So, all right, let's get some final thoughts in there.
I will go with. Oh,
we got score predictions.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Score predictions.
I will go with 20. To 16.
Who are you going with?
The Saints.
Going with 20, huh? Wow, you're pretty confident.
Well, it's obvious. It's going to be another weird situation how we get there. We might get like two safeties, you know,
on the best offense in the league.
We're going to miss like two extra points. We're not going to get a 2-point conversion, but we'll find out other ways to get points somehow.
I'm going to go 27 to 12. Cowboys win.
Oof. I'm going to go 18. Three touchdowns for the Saints.
That's why I went 12.
Yeah.
18, two touchdowns for the Saints.
No, I don't know where points. I'm getting three from, but yeah, 18 because it's Kamara's impact. And if Taysom's playing, we'll end up with three touchdowns. So 18 to 24 Dallas.
Like, I really think the key to the game, if we're gonna
Cowboys fans,
you'll know pretty early. Like, we haven't done shit in the first part of the game. Like, we don't start scoring.
That's
until, like,
big
the
easy guy,
quarter.
John, just put that in there. 34-26, we fall behind late and fail to come back again.
Like, yeah, if we can score early, I don't know what the stat is, but I don't think we've scored on our first drive in however many games. Like, it's been a very long time.
Man, and you remember that was like a trademark. Like,
yes.
You know, that was
like you could tell if we were gonna win that game
the days
by how
of
our first drive went.
Right.
Like, if we scored on our first drive, we drove down the field and scored on our first drive, you're like, all right, the offense is clicking, we're gonna win. And if
remember,
we didn't, you were like
when we had an offense that scored 30 points a game and our defense was terrible.
It's so funny the way it just flipped.
Right.
It just really is. Like,
it was more entertaining, but more frustrating.
It's yeah. it's like you can't just slide a little bit. You're like Breeze leaves, so we're not going to be as good. It's like, no, Breeze leaves, and it's the mirror image of the offense. I mean, man, like the whole team fell apart. I mean, who knew that Breeze was also keeping the team healthy by his presence? It's ridiculous the impact that this man had.
The power of the birthmark.
Right. That's why they got Ian Book.
That's all we need. Ian Book
too young.
But if we can get out early and score, that's our best chance to win. Like, if we fall behind, don't expect a fourth quarter comeback. Like, I just don't see it happening.
All right. Final thoughts.
I got nothing else on the Saints. I'll just say it looks like Zion will be back in a week or two. So we're going to dust off the old Pelican plunge when he returns.
So about a week, and then he gets hurt again.
Hey, they've actually they split in Utah over the weekend. They had a good win. You know, there might be a little bit of momentum coming. I mean, at this point, the football season's shot to shit. So just moving on.
Weren't they selling tickets to the Pelicans game for like $4?
I mean, probably
last week.
Yeah, probably Black Friday.
All right, Scott. Final thoughts.
If you're an LSU fan, there's not a lot going on, so I don't know how good the show is going to be this week for the Tigers Den. So, you know, tune in, I guess, if you want to hear some boring stuff that's not going on.
You're not doing your baseball season preview? That's going to be coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, how's the gymnastics
team? Or how? Even the basketball team's undefeated.
Basketball team is undefeated. Gymnastics season is about to kick off and start, and they have their Gymnastics 101.
So clearly that's like going to be your lead.
Oh, absolutely. Topic, right? Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
For sure.
Yeah. But seriously, it should be an interesting show.
That's right. You got any special guests coming on for this one?
I
cool if you can get Coach O.
Cool Tigers.
No, he's too busy in Destin with I said too busy in Destin.
All right.
He's in Destin, Florida right now.
On the up and up around here.
He's in Destin right now.
Just kinder, gentler Dome Patrol.
Oh, is that her name?
Just because he's balls deep in a co-ed doesn't mean.
We're live.
I don't know. I might reach out and try to get somebody on. Hopefully Wes will be able to join me this week, and I'm considering maybe drop in Alonzo Moscone to see if he might be able to come. We'll see.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hopefully he's free and can do that, because the man seems like he's Ed TV now. He's like the constant live stream, especially lately.
He had like 1,500, he had like about 3,000 people watching him between Facebook and YouTube tonight.
Oh, I'll believe it.
I watched a little of it tonight.
Yeah. We'll leave it for the Tigers then, but I do find it comical that this morning it was LSU's not going to ever say anything until Wednesday, and nobody could keep it a secret. So.
Well, I think it might get it. I think it's going to get announced tomorrow.
Well, now they might as well.
Well, I think it was. I think Wednesday was at the latest, I think.
Oh, the goal. Okay.
Right. I think.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tigers Den. Follow each show on Twitter. Do I need to read the Twitter handles every week?
Yes.
I mean, we're not picking up people.
Well, then don't do it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's screw it.
We're picking up people.
No, we're not.
You could have been finished by now.
I've been fixed, but it's picking up.
That's like sound like my daughter complains for 10 minutes. Picking something up, and she could have been done already.
We picked up 7 followers on Twitter last week, but then we lost them immediately. All right, it's at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger_Podcast, and at Dome Patrol Prem. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. We've been doing that consistently now. And if you want to participate in game day chat, DM us on Twitter to get an invitation to the Dome Patrol Discord server. I like that Ben pointed out that it's free. You don't have to pay for that. That's just if you want to hang out and chat with us in this Discord during the games. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Coach O Donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation. You gotta roll with it, yeah.